here with the dragons, are we back up in here? Spit fire from the back of your ears, coming straight from the belly of the beast that's in the back of your ear, whispering shit that's got you clapping your rear. This panic and fear is damaging. Radical stages of behavior that's got you on a scat eating, looking for the big bite.
So, I don't follow dirt sheets at all. I don't read quote-unquote wrestling news sites, just because so much of it is often speculative nonsense or just outright lies and garbage. Not that they all are, because there are people out there who do report with journalistic integrity and attempt to tell the truth and are legitimate and whatnot. But there's just a lot of crap out there and a lot of stuff that is just pure speculation or just mistruth. So sometimes, though, as a result of that, I do miss something that is actually newsworthy or is relevant to the product or whatever. And so I have kind of been the person living under a rock for a while in regards to the, it appears anyway that Killer Kelly is no longer with NXT UK. This hasn't, to the best of my knowledge, and I've been searching around for anything official. I follow Killer Kelly on Twitter, I haven't seen anything from her. I haven't seen anything from NXT UK or from WWE about coming to terms with the release or anything like that. But it was noted, and I checked, and it, sure enough, she is no longer listed on the WWE website under Superstars. And I believe she had changed her bio or something as well to no longer say NXT UK Superstar. So, it's, again, none of this has been officially confirmed, but just based on the evidence, it looks like, she's no longer with the company. And if that's the case, that's a huge loss, in my opinion, for NXT UK. We always try to keep it positive on the show, but I gotta be honest, I really feel like NXT UK totally dropped the ball with her. I can't recall seeing her ever actually go over in a match on the show, and she really has consistently been one of the best talents that they have in the entire division on UK. So, pretty disappointed that she was so underutilized. If it's true and she is no longer with NXT UK, then I'm bummed out that I won't be able to see her on TV as often, if at all. I'm definitely planning on watching Bloodsport coming up here. Bloodsport 3, she's been announced for that, and I've been kind of curious about that product anyway, so I figured now that one of my favorite wrestlers has been announced for it, it's a good time to check it out. But so if she is gone, I definitely wish her the best of luck in all of her future endeavors, and I'm gonna continue supporting in any way I can. I did pre-order her new t-shirt that she's selling independently, and hopefully there'll be some more opportunities for her to be over here in the United States so I can see her wrestle in person at some point. But I just wanted to address that because I feel like almost every week I'm like, hey, where's Killer Kelly? And it's usually just because I'm waiting for her inevitable match from the tapings. But it seems like we may not be getting that anymore. So just wanted to address that in case there was anybody who listened who was like, hey, you idiot, she's not with the company anymore. Maybe you should shut up or, look things up or check into some stuff, do some research, be a good host. So my apologies for being a bit of an ignorant dumbass in terms of that news story. Again, I just, I don't keep up with the sites or the dirt sheets, whatever, because of just the lack of reliable information. And I also just don't, I don't like having things spoiled. Like, I want to just enjoy watching the wrestling. I don't need to know what the supposed plans are for so-and-so for WrestleMania this year or whatever. I just want to watch it and enjoy it. And I encourage everybody else to do the same. But, of course, you're free to do whatever you want. That's, you know, that's how society works. Moving on. We got another week of NXT UK here to cover. It is the second-to-last episode from the York tapings. We got a three-match card here. And it felt like this went fast. It felt like everything went really fast this week. We started the episode off with a really cool hype video for the evening's main event. Joe Coffey and Ilya Dragunov, they've had their differences. They've been allies. They've been opposed to each other. And it's all coming to a head tonight in the main event, Joe Coffey versus Ilya Dragunov. But before that, we have TakeOver Tyler. Tyler Bate going up against Mr. I Am Worthy, Joseph Connors. And this is a big match. Joseph Connors been on a lengthy winning streak going into this match. And this was really kind of the apex of his push in a lot of ways, I think. And this was a really good match. This was a really fun match. Really lightning quick, fast paced the whole time. Great action. Joseph Connors had a lot of really innovative offense in this one. We'll get into that, but he did get frustrated early on though and went for a chair like 60 seconds into the match. Like, was trying to bring a chair into it, and the chair would come into play later on. There was a big old backslide battle. It was really cool. I love it when people can take something so simple and that is taken for granted so often, just something like a backslide, and just work it so hard and so well that the crowd comes alive for something as simple and elementary as a backslide. Just, I love it. That's the art of wrestling, is being able to do more with less. You don't always have to go 200 miles an hour and hit every single move that you can imagine to get the crowd into the match. And this is a prime example of just that. There was a nice tongue twister from Aiden English. Joseph Connors had a submission hold locked in, and Aiden English rattles off this nugget. Joseph Connors has TakeOver Tyler tied up tight tonight. Oh my God, the alliteration. And I'm a big fan of alliteration, honestly. I know a lot of people hate it, and you're kind of advised in literature or writing or speech, in any form of communication media, to avoid alliteration, but I love it, if you couldn't tell by the fact that my band is called Far From Fiction. Aiden English, I've noticed, has really been sinking his teeth into being the heel commentator lately. It feels like every week he's been pushing the into heel territory more and more on commentary, and he was really just shamelessly being a heel on commentary this week. So it creates an interesting dynamic for sure, and it sort of makes up for something that has seemed to be missing when Nigel isn't there, because Nigel definitely leans into the heel role a good bit, especially depending on who is actually in the match. Some of Joseph Connor's really cool moves. He had a big twisting bulldog that got two. He hit, I had written something else down that he had done, or so I thought. And here I'm seeing that it's missing from my notes. But he hit it is here. I just was overlooking it. But there was another lightning fast sequence that ended with Joseph Connors hitting a slingshot flatliner from outside in. That was cool. The action did spill to the outside on a couple of occasions. And then near the end here, we ended up getting a drop toll hold onto the conveniently placed chair from earlier. And it looked like this might spell the end. The referee let it go. It was described as incidental contact. I like that. That's a term I don't think I've heard before. But a good way to just go ahead and let the action continue, or excuse the use of the chair, because it was just a matter of convenience that the chair was placed where it was. But Joseph Conner is hit like a big swinging, like it started like a in a torch rack position and ended like a falcon arrow. That was cool. He got set up for Don't Look Down, but that got countered into a DDT by Tyler Bate. He hit the rebound clothesline, and after multiple attempts at hitting Tyler Driver 97, finally locked it in, hit Joseph Conner with it, and that put him away for the 1-2-3. Really good match, and I remember going into it, I was a little bit concerned that, well, if Conner's comes up short here, that might spell the end of his push. But really, I felt like this match elevated him even more. He hit a lot of really cool, unique, creative moves, and he went toe-to-toe with Tyler Bate for a good 12 minutes, and a really great TV match. Tyler Bate going over is pretty expected, but Conner's definitely gave him gave him everything he had, and I think that this match may have just elevated him some more, even in a losing effort. So we'll have to see what the future holds for Joseph Conner, see if he's still worthy or considers himself worthy now that he suffered his first loss in about 8 or 9 months. So, but really good opening match. Up next, we had an awesome hype video for next week's main event, the main event of the York tapings in general, unless there was a dark match that I just don't know about because I don't read the news sites. Toni Storm and Kaylee Ray, I quit match for the NXT UK Women's Championship next week. I'm expecting that to be just incredible. These two always deliver every single time that we've seen them, and they're really, really hyping this one up. Toni Storm saying that she'll, if Kaylee Ray doesn't understand that she'll do whatever it takes, then she never really knew who her in the first place. But Kaylee Ray seems to be Toni Storm's kryptonite. Seems like she's always able to remain a step ahead or sneak out a victory. But Toni's been unable to beat her thus far, and I really... I know I've said it before, like last week even, like I can't see Toni actually verbally saying I quit or tapping out. It's just something she did tap out at Survivor Series, but she was put in two submission holds at once by two people, so that was completely permissible and forgivable, didn't hurt her at all. But it's gonna be really weird to see her like tap or give up to one opponent. Especially in this kind of the level of this feud, the heights that it's been built to. I just can't see Toni giving. I could see Toni passing out or becoming unresponsive, but I just can't see her quitting. And I don't feel like Kaylee Ray is going to lose. I just don't see it. As much as I love Toni Storm, as much as everybody loves Toni Storm, and as much as we're going to be pulling for Toni Storm to win, as we always do in this house, can't see her. I just can't see Kaylee Ray dropping it. I can't. I'd like to. I'd love it. But don't think it's going to happen. But the match is going to be excellent. I can't wait. We got more hype. We got more hype coming at you, because we go backstage where Johnny Saint and Sid Scala are with Bomber Dave Mastiff and Walter, the NXT UK champion, and we find out that in 2 weeks' time, the match is happening. Dave Mastiff finally gets his shot at Walter in the NXT UK championship. So, awesome. So much to look forward to. We get championship matches in consecutive weeks here. Maybe we can get the tag team titles in the picture here shortly as well. But this is going to be a fight, and I'm looking forward to it. I obviously don't see Dave Mastiff taking the title off of Walter, but I expect it to be a hard-hitting, really fun match. And I'm looking forward to seeing how Walter's chops are absorbed by Mastiff in this one, because I'm sure that he's going to be just asking Walter to bring it on and just asking Walter to lay the chops in and just taking them and just absorbing the blows. And it's going to be an awesome match. I've been looking forward to this one for quite some time. I was speculating last year that maybe the TakeOver Cardiff match might end up being Mastiff and Walter. I believe that episode of the podcast is still up, but Kyle and I did some fantasy booking, and I had like a ridiculously long card, but that was my main event, I believe. It was Mastiff versus Walter, or maybe it was, actually, no, you know what? It was Mastiff, Walter, and Joe Coffey, and a triple threat. So, now that I remember. But looking forward to this one. And in a funny bit, we cut out to the live arena, and Aiden and Tom are going over, just kind of trying to discuss this inevitable championship match, and they are interrupted by Ginny. This is a fun angle because the camera is pointing at them from behind the desk towards the ring, and Ginny just walked into the frame and just got up on the desk and commandeered a microphone. We've been waiting to see how Jazzy was going to maybe get written off of the show, or what they were going to do with Ginny now that Jazzy had left kind of before the story had a chance to resolve itself. And I like the way they did this, because Ginny said that, didn't mention Jazzy by name, but says that her former, I don't recall the exact term she used, but she does refer to herself as the Queen of NXT UK, and just alludes to her former associate, and the fact that might have even been the word she used was associate, but her former associate had disobeyed her, and that she is intolerant of disobedience, and so now, as a result of that disobedience, her career is over, and says that no one will ever disrespect her again. And that if she feels inclined to do so, that maybe she will eventually give somebody else an opportunity to hang out with her and stuff. But at least for right now, it would seem that Ginny's going to be flying solo and is going to be avoiding disrespect from people at all costs. So good to see Ginny on the show, albeit not in a wrestling form, and it seems like maybe that just isn't going to be the case. We just won't see her wrestling at all and during these York shows, because we only have one left next week. And there have been a couple of times that they've done two women's matches on one show, but I'm not sure that that's going to be the case next week. Oh, that'd be cool. I would like to see that. But be it, considering that the women's championship match is main eventing, I feel compelled to believe that the other matches on the show will be men's matches. But good to see Ginny on the show and establishing her future direction a bit, and figuring out a quick, easy, and logical way to write Jazzy out of NXT UK now that she has departed the company. So that's a couple of big talents that NXT UK is lost now in the women's division, but they did, of course, recently sign a couple of people too. And so now our team attempts to once again discuss the Walter Dave Mastiff match, but they are interrupted by Noam Dar's entrance to Tom Phillips' disdain. So out comes Noam Dar, and he's going to be squaring off with Josh Morrell. We've seen Josh Morrell before. He's a really impressive young guy. very athletic, can really move in the ring, has a lot of really cool moves, does a lot of high flying top rope stuff, a lot of twisting corkscrew things, and just flies all over the place. And the story they were telling here, was that Noam Dar had gone to this match very much underestimating his opponent, and as a result, the whole first half of this match was really morale having his way with Noam Dar. Loved the crowd singing "Hey Jude" here, by the way. I couldn't tell exactly what they were substituting and where, but it was very clearly "Hey Jude," and that was awesome. I love the UK crowd so much. I just would love to be a part of one day. Somehow we'll figure it out. But they really gave Josh Morrell a lot here. I mean, he really controlled the first, like, it really felt like 2/3 of the match until Noam Dar finally decided to take things seriously, and he did end up thwarting Morrell's offense, laying in some vicious strikes and avoiding a big corkscrew, big like corkscrew moonsault to hit the Nova Rolla to get the 1-2-3. But good to see Noam Dar. We hadn't seen Noam Dar in a little while. So good to see him back, and excited to see what the future is going to hold for him, who his next big feud will be. Obviously a lot of potential up and down the roster, but we now go backstage and see that the Hunt, well, not backstage so much as like a pre-tape in a dark place inside the building somewhere, but the Hunt had some choice words for Grizzled Young Veterans, because Grizzled Young Veterans had used them, used their names. Zach Gibson had used their name in his promo last week, and really kind of cut him down, said that York was like the Hunt of NXT UK, whereas if they disappeared, no one would even notice. Well, Grizzled Young Veterans are going to have to notice him now, because next week it's going to be the Hunt versus a GYV in tag team action. So that'll be a fun one. Interested to see which way that's going to go, because I would imagine that if the Hunt were to go over, that could be planting the seeds of maybe a Grizzled Young Veterans breakup, because they've been on a bit of a losing streak, although it's been under auspicious circumstances with the triple threat tag match at Cardiff and then the four-way ladder match at Blackpool. And so this is just going to be a straight-up 2-on-2 normal rules tag team match. And if the Hunt go over, that I could see them maybe moving in the direction of splitting Grizzled Young Veterans up, or this could be their send off if they are in fact going to move to NXT proper, NXT Full Sail, then this could perhaps be their UK send off. And the only reason I say that is just because they did kind of allude to that a little bit in their promo last week, with the multiple mentions of NXT and William Regal and how good he does at his job and whatnot, and really putting Regal over. It almost feels like maybe they are going to end up on NXT. So we'll see what happens. Jordan Devlin, this is the second pre-tape with Devlin. Of course, because Worlds Collide took place right in the middle of the airing of these tapings, and obviously they had enough sense to take that into consideration during these tapings, because we saw Jordan Devlin week one and haven't seen him since, and they do address that here. But Devlin's in high demand. He's been getting texts and calls and messages. He's good to point out, not from Johnny. I don't think he owns a phone. Funny stuff. I love Jordan Devlin. He's great. I feel like Devlin is going to be somebody who is really going to go really far in this company. He's a tremendous worker, great promo, good look, just an awesome heel, really, really good at being a bad guy, incredibly talented, and he is the NXT Cruiserweight Champion right now. So I think the future is very bright and the sky's the limit for Jordan Devlin in NXT and WWE. And that is going to bring us into our main event, Ilya Dragunov and Joe Coffey. And it's everything you would expect or hope for. This was an awesome match. It started out with a really nice mix of strikes and grappling and a lot of one-upsmanship and a lot of hard-hitting action. There was some intense shoulder tackles and a lot of mouthing off and getting in each other's faces. Dragunov's doing his pose and he's got his fist just resting on Joe Coffey's face, just taunting him. Really cool stuff. And of course the match just gets bigger and bigger and continues to build as it went on. There was a big pump kick that sent Joe Coffey to the outside, took a violent bump, not legitimately violent, but just a violent looking bump. When Joe Coffey doesn't take like really big bumps from people too often, because he's usually bigger than his opponents, but like when he really wants to, he can just make it look like he's getting murdered. And, that was an occasion here. And Dragunov, just as always, is just full of way too much energy and is just flying around the ring. You never know what direction he's going in next, and he's just such an exciting guy to watch. But then that energy does get taken right out from under him because Coffey hits a big strike to the knee and starts just dismantling the knee, just slowly just taking it apart. Coffey worked him over for a while, got him into the Boston Crab, just kept working the leg over, which is a great strategy against Dragunov because, you know, so much of what he does involves just running all over the place and flying off the ropes and just being agile and athletic and high energy. And you can't do that if he's only got one good leg. So excellent psychological stuff there. Just good psychology by Joe Coffey. But Dragunov did mount a comeback and hit the biggest frickin' senton of all time. Just got an insane amount of height, came crashing down on Joe Coffey. They fought into the corner, and there was a big overhead belly-to-belly suplex off the top rope. Dragunov did hit the coast-to-coast. Really cool finish here. He has both guys sold to opposing corners and kind of collecting themselves, and they're staring at each other from across the ring, and Dragunov setting up Torpedo Moscow, and Joe Coffey yells, "My Kingdom," and goes for the big spinning lariat, but Dragunov got there just a fraction of a second early. He got there first and hit Torpedo Moscow and put Joe Coffey down for the 1-2-3. Maybe a little bit of a surprising outcome. I don't know, because that's two big losses for Joe Coffey right in a row. But a big, big, big defining win for Ilya Dragunov. And that kind of makes me wonder if he's not going to be maybe the next challenger in line for Walter after Dave Mastiff. I don't know. But great match. Good stuff all throughout. Hard-hitting, everything that you would want and hope for from an NXT UK TV main event, especially with two guys this good. And after the match, the rest of the Gallus firm comes out, the tag champs, Mark Coffey and Wolfgang, and they join Joe Coffey in the ring, and it kind of looks for a second like they're thinking about getting some heat on Dragunov after the match, but Joe Coffey gives him respect, says, "Debt paid, and we're all square." So maybe that means that the Gallus boys are going to go back to playing babyface after this. I don't know. They fit really well in that nice just tweener area where they're just in the middle. They're like true neutral. Just they do their thing and they'll fight anybody. And I really like them that way. But of course, you know, in wrestling, you typically don't have people really filling that role for any length of time. So it'll be interesting to see where they go from here, because now Joe Coffey has lost to Walter and has lost all of his NXT UK championship opportunities. He has now lost to Ilya Dragunov. So we'll have to see where he goes from here. Obviously, the Gallus faction as a whole still going strong with the UK Tag Team Championships. But it'll be interesting to see where we go from here with them. So next week looks to be a great show. We've got the Hunt versus Grizzled Young Veterans in tag team action. And in the main event, Kaylee Ray defending the NXT UK Women's Championship in an I Quit match against Toni Storm. And I mean, I'm sure there'll probably be one other match. It's usually, as was the case this week, a three-match card. It's usually three, sometimes four. We'll have to see. But I would imagine it'll probably be a three-match card next week. Because that I Quit match has got to get a lot of time. I Quit matches, by their nature, are usually pretty long. I could see that match easily going 20 minutes. So, but that wraps us up. Easy for me to say. That wraps us up here at We Are NXT UK for this week. I have been your host, Brent. You can follow me on Twitter and or Instagram at BrentFFF. You can follow the show at We Are NXT UK on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow my band, Far From Fiction. FFF band am I. If the reason you would want to do that is because we composed the song that was heard at the beginning of this podcast. So if you enjoy that little riff, it's a song of ours called Worth It. And it's available on Apple Music and Spotify or anywhere else that you stream music, because that's what we do, is we stream music. So we'll be back next week to cover all the excitement and to preview what lies ahead. We just keep going every single week. NXT UK, the best 60 minutes of wrestling anywhere consistently every week. I love the show. Been watching from day one, and it's been great. It's just, this show has just such a cool, unique vibe that, you know, is it stands out versus the rest of the shows that are under the WWE umbrella, and really stands out. It stands out versus like all the other televised wrestling products too. It's just got a cool feel. They go into some pretty intimate buildings with the show, and it's just got a great vibe and a great look, and it looks good on TV. And of course, the in-ring product is absolutely phenomenal. I've totally fallen in love with the British style, and I just want to watch more really excellent British wrestling. So, hey, if anybody's got any recommendations, shoot them my way. I'd love to check out some more stuff. I've been trying to get more familiar with Riptide. I'm decently familiar with Fight Club Pro, but haven't really watched anything super recent or anything. So just, fill me in on other British wrestling stuff that I should watch, because I'll watch it and it'll be cool. And we can talk about it on Twitter or on Instagram or wherever. So thanks for hanging out with us, and we will chat again next week. I believe my normal co-host Lee will be back next week. He's on another hockey trip. I think this is his last one of the year. But good for him. Happy to see him getting around. But he should be back. He should be joining us next week here. So thank you for listening, and take care. Enjoy your week. Enjoy your weekend, or enjoy, whatever day it is when you're listening to this. And we'll talk soon.